I would like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. If you have your Bible open, to Matthew chapter 11. We'll begin reading in just a moment in Matthew chapter 11 with verse 1. On this day, God willing, I bring to you two messages on a very serious subject. Now, the Christian life is full of joy. There's no doubt about it. There's nothing like it. The Lord gives us His joy, and we're grateful for that. So very grateful. It reminds me of the story of the doctor who walked in and out of the hospital rooms and had the slightest smile on his face, even the worst of cases. And one curious nurse said to him on one of those occasions, "How can you have that expression on your face?" And he replied, "I'm always thinking about what can be done to get them well or make them whole, not just what's wrong with them." And the minister must come before the people with the Word of God, not only speaking about what is wrong, but always conscious that nothing is too great for God. And so that spirit needs to override everything else in our lives, which means my preaching and my living and your living. So may God guide us with that. If you have your Bible open to Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark this expression. It's found in the 12th verse. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. I want to deal with some of the inescapable issues that we face in our time that relate to this subject. That the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. I remember the context here. The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And two of John's disciples found the Lord Jesus and made an inquiry. And when they heard of this, they said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now Jesus Christ knew they came from John the Baptist. He knew that John was in prison. And I want you to notice what he did when he answered them. He took them to the scripture. He quoted to them from the 35th chapter of the book of Isaiah. He took them to the Word of God. And when you and I are dealing with the great issues of our day, when we are dealing with the violence that's upon the kingdom of heaven, we need to get quickly to the Bible. We live among people who want to say, well, this is my opinion, this is what I think, this is what I would do. And by the way, their opinion may be right, and what they would do or decide to do might be the very thing that needs to be done. But that does not escape the responsibility we have of getting to the Word of God and finding the mind of God about the issue. What position does God take on this? What does the Lord say? Pardon me if this offends you, but we are weak, anemic softies. And we have a tendency to give in emotionally to almost anything that someone might need. We live our lives for the most part by feelings. And if we have pity for someone, it really doesn't make a lot of difference what they want. If we can have pity for them, we respond to it. And almost anything can become nearly normal if we live among it long enough. Almost anything. But the Lord Jesus took them straight to the Scripture. And He answered, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see." And then He quotes from the 35th chapter of Isaiah, "The blind receive their sight." And by the way, this is what was prophesied. Then will the blind receive their sight. Then when the Messiah comes. And He says, "The blind receive their sight. And the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." We live in a religious world that is misguided. And we have so many people today who base their faith on experience and not on the Word of God, and thus saith the Lord. Remember this, please. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself. God reveals Himself in His Word. "It liveth and abideth forever. It's for no private interpretation. Generations long before we ever arrived on this planet lived their lives guided by the Word of God, the same Word of God we have. And that's where we must go. When we face the great issues of our day, we must go to the Bible." Someone would say, "Well, people have changed. The basic nature of the human being has not changed. Many cultural things have changed. People think differently. There are a majority of people thinking differently than what the Scriptures say. But there's always been a remnant of people who adhered to the Word of God, who tried to live their lives to thus saith the Lord." There are rock-ribbed, Bible-based convictions that you can develop for your life from the Word of God and live by those convictions and have the compassion of Christ in speaking to others about those convictions. And that's what we must do. And we must not cave in to the culture or to the ideas or the sympathies of someone who takes a position against God and against God's Word. Now, it's going to rub the cats fur the wrong way. As the evangelist Billy Sunday used to say, if it rubs the cats fur the wrong way, then the cat needs to turn around. And so if the preaching and teaching of the Word of God rubs your fur the wrong way, then, cat, you just need to turn around and get things right. Because the Bible is not going to change. The Bible says, "I, the Lord, change not." Now, I'm not trying to declare to you that I'm infallible, but I am declaring to you that this blessed book is infallible. And the God who's on the throne of this universe liveth and abideth forever, just as the Word of God liveth and abideth forever, and He is from everlasting to everlasting. And so, back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. That's where we must go. Back to the Bible. And then the Bible says, and as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John. Now, many were thinking, no doubt, John was a failure. He's in prison after all of this. Now he's in prison. See what it gets you? And you and I have a way of weighing things out, and our measure of success, for the most part, is the same thing the world uses as a measure of success. There may be someone, and surely there is someone out somewhere in the middle of nowhere, faithfully preaching the Word of God to a handful of people a day, doing a better job using the stewardship that he has even more fruitfully and faithfully than I'm using mine, who will be greater rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ than I will be. In other words, we're keeping records one way. God's keeping records a different way. And so when he thinks he's in prison, let's get everything straight. So he says concerning John, what went you out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Expect to go out there and find a reed, something you could trample on? Bend and break? What went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. He didn't hang around the palace. When he went near the palace, that's what got him in this trouble. When he told a man he could not steal his brother's wife. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it was written. And he quotes again the scriptures from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 3rd verse. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And then he gives this encouragement. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John the Baptist, what a man, given the privilege to announce and prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And then he says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. Just as you and I are gathered in this place, it seems in complete safety, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. And I'm going to mention just a few things. I want you to write them down, if you would, please. Just to introduce you to the subject that I'll be dealing with at greater length the next time we meet together. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence from the Islamic Jihad. From the Islamic Jihad. I have in my hand some things I want to share with you. Other things I'll share with you later. I have a map of our United States. And on this map, I have pointed out to me the Islamic terrorist network in America and their paramilitary training bases in America. Think of that. The paramilitary training bases in America. In Seattle, Washington, Portland, Oregon, San Francisco, Santa Clara, California, Los Angeles, San Diego, Tucson, Arizona, Tulsa, Denver, Oklahoma City, Arlington, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Texas, Houston, Texas, Kansas City, Chicago, Detroit, Columbia, Missouri, Orlando, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Raleigh, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Roanoke, Virginia, Herndon, Virginia, Springfield, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Potomac, Maryland, Laurel, Maryland, Boston, Massachusetts, Cleveland, Ohio, New York City, Plainfield, Indiana, and on the list goes. More than 60 places where terrorists have paramilitary training going on and schools in America. Think of that. And at a moment's notice, they could begin to act to do what they're believing they should do. I have something that came into my hands about Islamic Jihad and what is referred to as the caliphate. And this caliphate, this coalition of Muslim nations ruled by a caliph or caliph. Let's say we could understand it by saying that the Roman Catholic Church has the Vatican and a pope. I'll give you more information this evening about this. And I'm going to read all of this to you about how they're preparing for worldwide jihad and how everything is being put in place and how a League of Nations is being brought together to declare something that will enact the worldwide emphasis of jihad. Someone has said, and I can give you the sources here, in America, while speaking to American audience, Muslim leaders deny or downplay jihad, meaning the subjugating of the whole world to Islam. When speaking to their own, the message of jihad is crystal clear. A quote from a Muslim historian and cleric reads this way: Islam is not a normal religion like other religions in the world. And Muslim nations are not like normal nations. Muslim nations are very special because they have a command from Allah to rule the entire world and to be over every nation in the world. Islam is a revolutionary faith that comes to destroy any government made by man. Islam does not look for a nation to be in a better condition than another nation. Islam doesn't care about the land or who owns the land. The goal of Islam is to rule the entire world and submit all of mankind to the faith of Islam. Any nation or power that gets in the way of that goal, Islam will fight and destroy it. In order to fulfill that goal, Islam can use every power available, every way it can be used, to bring worldwide revolution. This is jihad, meaning every effort to defend or extend the faith of Islam. And things are being put in place in Turkey at this moment to enact what they've been waiting for. So, this worldwide jihad, worldwide, can begin with what they call legitimacy. There's not an American city of any size where the groundwork has not already been laid. There are 1.7 billion Muslims in the world. 1.7 billion. Think of that. There are about 2 billion people who profess to be Christians, many of whom have never been born again, but about 2 billion who profess to be Christians. To put it in perspective, right now, nearly one out of every four human beings on earth is a Muslim. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago, that's 600 years before Islam was birthed, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The kingdom of heaven is suffering violence at the hands of Islamic jihad. And if something doesn't change, it is only going to get worse. The second thing I want to say to you is the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence through the undermining of the family by the promotion of same-sex marriage. I want you to understand this. I want you to understand that this is a crusade. It's not just against the family. It's against the God who established the family. The Lord created the family. The family unit is the training ground for godliness and heritages to be passed from one family to another. Think of this. In America, I want to give you this story, and I've given it to you before, but in America, if 15 women discovered today that they were expecting a baby in America. According to USA Today, if 15 women discovered they were expecting a baby, five of them would immediately try to get an abortion and finally get that done. This leaves 10 of those women still expecting a baby. In America, six of those 10 women would not have a husband. Six of them out of the 10 would not have a husband and never intend to have a husband. Of the other four who have a husband, they would put their kids in school, and half of them would get a divorce by the time their children were entering school. Now, if you think this country is not in a foul shape with the family, what are you thinking? And you know, we get all worked up, and we ought to, about the perversion of the home and family through same-sex marriage. I passed out many of these books 10 years ago, I guess, when it first came out by Dr. Erwin Lutzer on same-sex marriage. We bought them by the case and gave copies. I'm going to get them again. I want you to read it if you haven't read it. I want you to read it. And the thorough job he does of covering this subject. But what are we going to do about it? Would you take your Bible and turn with me, please, to the book of Romans just for a moment? There are six basic passages of Scripture that deal with this subject and hitting it hard and declaring it purposefully. But the Word of God says in Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now, what would you expect a preacher of the gospel, a believer of the Word of God, to say about same-sex marriage? Well, I want you to know, I don't know what you expect, but I know what the Bible says. It's not an issue that we can be neutral on. Not an issue. It might interest some of you to know that I have friends who are practicing homosexuals. And I love them and I pray for them. And I speak the truth in love to them. It might be interesting for you to understand that probably everyone in this room knows someone who is a practicing homosexual or living a lesbian lifestyle. We don't hate these people. God doesn't hate these people. But they're undermining and tearing down the one thing that God said is the foundation of a civilized people. And when it's destroyed, when it's torn down, when it's accepted as the common thing, we've lost something as a people, as a civilized people that can never be regained. It can never be regained. I can't take my Bible. If I'm true to the Bible and true to God, I cannot take my Bible and tear the pages and the verses out of it that I don't agree with or someone else doesn't agree with. We believe in preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept. If you're going to find the truth anywhere, you ought to find it where people know the Lord, love His Word, and preach His Word. But we're under attack today. Families are falling apart. They're in great need. Years ago, I gave you three words. I want you to write them down again. Would you please? First was the word violation. Violation. In other words, I know what God says, but I'm not going to do it. And by the way, many things led to the state of mind that allows this thing to happen. When we devalued life in 1973 by legalizing abortion, we opened the floodgate of iniquity. When we took a stand as a nation to help other nations only if they abort their babies, I believe we brought the wrath of God upon America. Now, there are things that preceded this. You're not going to like what I'm going to say, but any sexual relationship outside of marriage is against God and against God's word. And in one sense, stands on the same ground as any illicit sexual relationship between the same sex, because it is for pleasure and enjoyment and not according to what God has done. Now, God gives pleasure and enjoyment in the bond of marriage. But when we violate the bond of marriage to try to achieve that, we break the commandment of God. And we lay the groundwork for many other terrible things to be done. Violation. To violate what God says and the way God declares it. The second word is repudiate. In other words, I know that's what the Bible says. I'm not going to argue with God about it, but this is what I feel like doing. This is what I want to do. And so I'm just going to ignore what God says. It's not going to matter to me. I'm going to live as if it doesn't exist. It's like driving down the road and the road sign says 60 miles an hour. And you know it says 60 miles an hour. And if you're like me, your wife is saying, better be careful. No. If you're like me, I'm saying to my wife, you better be careful. You better slow down. You better stop this speeding. Oh, you always did want to drive like grandma, you know, whatever that means. But you see the sign, you know it says it, you try to abide by it. To repudiate it says, I don't care what signs say, I'm going to act as if they're not even there. I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what anybody says, no matter what the rules are, I'm doing what I want to do. That's repudiating it. It goes from that to popularizing it, to popularization. In other words, the thing to do, the thing to be, the in thing, the cool thing, the most popular thing. Whoever imagined that we could go so far from what God says till the popular thing would be the very thing God forbids? There's so much more to be said about this. And for discretion and propriety, through all these years, I've tried to give resources to families so they can deal with these things in their homes and families. I think I should have been a little more plain spoken in many areas. But the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. Families are falling apart. Bondage entering into. Horrible things happening. A life of misery and unhappiness. Why, you say, I know somebody that does this that's happy. Listen, you haven't known them all their life and won't know them all their life. I was on a plane not long ago, and a woman, oh, maybe about my age, getting ready to retire as an athletic director in a major university in the North, sat beside me, and I started a conversation to witness to her about Christ. After a while in the conversation, I figured something out. And I said to her, are you a lesbian? Now, we'd had quite a conversation. She turned to me and she says, well, yes. Now, I understand she doesn't speak for everyone. But she said, as she started crying, my whole life is gone now. I said, what do you want to do with your life? She said, I wanted to start a home for orphans where I grew up. And she mentioned a place in Florida. She was in the Northeast. I said, you've probably never had a conversation in your life with a Christian who believes the Bible, much less an independent Baptist preacher. She said, well, you're right. And I talked to her about the Lord and about truth. She talked to me about when she was in love as a young girl, how she got involved in athletic sports and received scholarships and finally made her way to the top as an athletic director. My heart hurt for her. Truly, it hurt for her. And to see the misery in her life. She got sold a bill of goods for some moment's pleasure and then leading into something else. And I'm telling you, this crowd wants your sons and your daughters and your grandsons and your granddaughters. And forceful, angry rhetoric is not the answer to it. Truth is the only answer. Truth is the only answer. You say, well, they're nice people. They're just nice people. I've got a nice neighbor that way. But what sensible man would put his 13-year-old son in the car with that sensible neighbor and take a trip across America? Now, I'm not trying to be brass or cute. I'm just saying, people, we need to get back to the Bible and help people understand what does the Bible say? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Let me give you a third thing. And I think this is the most serious. You say, well, I thought you were talking about the most serious. No, I think this is the most serious. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence at the hands of professing Christians who have no intention, of living biblical Christianity. It suffers violence from the hands of professing Christians who have no intention of living a life of biblical Christianity. What is the answer to the personal life and fulfillment of the personal life? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, there are not just a few. There are thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, no doubt millions of people who identify with Christianity who have never had the new birth, who've never been born again. They're members of churches. They've gone through church ordinances. They've been baptized. They've gone through studies. They've become members of churches. But they've never met God. They've never repented of their sin personally and by faith trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They don't have the Holy Ghost living in them to guide their lives. And here we are, all of us. What are we going to do? What will you do? Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. There are many people with whom you talk and with whom I talk who identify with Christianity who have never been born again. There are many people who identify with the church who have never been born again. They have no intention of trying to know what God says or live what God says. Absolutely no intention. But what's worse than that? You have people who say they've been born again, who give you some idea of an experience they've had with God. Somehow, some way, have never truly given themselves to living a life guided by biblical Christianity. Lives blown apart, no work on the home, no giving of life to serve God through a local church. Where in the world is this world going to get a point of reference about how to live if God's people don't give them that point of reference? There's no other way. The answer to the human heart is the Lord Jesus. The answer to the home is the Lord Jesus. The answer to the church is the Lord Jesus. May God help us. We need to know that people are lost without God, without hope. The Creator God made us and we went astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And God sent his only begotten Son into this world to bleed and die for our sin. He lived a sinless life and went to the cross and bled and died for our sins. You're not going to go to heaven and I'm not going to go to heaven because I identified with a church or a group of people. I'm going to go to heaven because God had mercy on my soul, and I came to Him confessing my sin and asked God to forgive my sin, and the Lord Jesus came to live in me. But other people need to be going to heaven because I've committed my life to live the life and tell others about Him. May God help us. May God help us. Every once in a while, I ask my wife, where are my glasses? And she'll say, they're on your head. I have a certain pen I use, and it's a fountain pen. I like to use a fountain pen, and I use it. And the other day, I went through the entire house looking everywhere on my old little favorite places I leave things lying around. And she was in another room. I kept saying, Evelyn, where's my pen? Where's my pen? I got to leave. I got to find my pen. And I looked, and it was in my pocket, in my shirt pocket. I came in from the outside the other day and said, don't have the keys to the car. Where have you put them? Don't have the keys to the car. Where are they? They were in my pocket. And I don't know how many times I've looked for this thing, and I've had this phone with me. You know, people are looking, Christian people, what can we do? What can we do about this onslaught of violence? What can we do? You already have the answer. What can we do about evangelizing the world and reaching people with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? You already have the answer. You say, what are we going to do about home and family and raising kids and being the right kind of husband, the right kind of wife? We already have the answer. Sure we do. People say, well, we'd like to have a great church, a church that's Christ-like, where we can bring up our family to know the things of God and encourage us. Where can we find such a thing? We already have the answer. The problem is we've become so accustomed to a weak, anemic, way below the level it ought to be, brand of Christianity. And we refuse to come up to the Bible standard and live the Christian life God designed in His Word. If this country continues in the same direction it's going, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. I'm going to read you a statement by the President of the United States. Would you like to blame him? This is what our President said. Barack Hussein Obama. You can find it on YouTube yourself. Let this point be very clear. We will not tolerate any negative stereotypes against Islam. So let's blame the president for the mess. Let's blame the president for ISIS. Let's blame the president for the Turkish government organizing a caliphate. Let's blame the president for worldwide terror. Does that satisfy you? The truth of the matter is, if we had gone into all the world and preached the gospel to every creature, just as Jesus Christ commanded us to do, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now. And let's blame somebody for the mess we're in with our homes. Let's blame somebody. While we stand idly by, and in our own country have murdered over 60 million babies. Devalued life to where now abortion is just another way of birth control. What's wrong with us? Does it give us satisfaction to try to blame somebody else for our own failure? You see, the Christian life is not just identifying with Christian things. It is knowing, truly knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And if you ever intend to get serious about it, somebody's going to know it. You're going to stop complaining about all the little things that don't go your way. You're going to gain a perspective on life that evidently we haven't had. You're going to begin to think about what really matters. People shop for churches like buying hamburger. If it's on sale at some grocery store for $1.89 a pound, let's all rush over there. You better look somewhere for the truth of God. And somebody speaking the truth in love. Oh, there's so much I want to say. But Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. May God help us to rise up and do all we can while we can. I believe with all of my heart, I've preached this all of my life as a preacher, but I believe with all of my heart that we have lived to see the day where we have entered in to the beginning of the end. And soon He's coming again. Let's pray together, maybe. Before I pray, if you've never been born again, this is the day for it. This is the accepted time. Some of you need to lay down that church membership by your side, your upbringing in Christian things, and say, I have never really come to know Jesus Christ. I have no power within me to live the life. I've tried. So you say, I'm coming to receive Christ, to be born again, to know the Lord, to make it real. You need to come. This low-level living won't get it done. And the priorities, the lack of properly placed priorities, destroying home and family. You say, I'm fearful about what's happening to my children. Oh, I wish I could get this across. The best thing you can do for the future of your children is have a happy marriage. Love your wife, love your husband, and have a happy home. Based on the Word of God, following the Lord. Things will never get it. You'll have your heart broken someday. You'll have your heart broken, terribly broken someday. And I don't want that. God doesn't want that. No one who loves you wants that if it's not built on the Lord Jesus. And people are worried. They're worried about this Islamic jihad. And I'll say more about it this evening. But we don't have to just sit around wondering. Many of those people can be won to Christ if we just get the gospel out. Precious people God loves as much as He loves you and He loves me. But we need to take the true message of salvation to them. I wonder before I pray, how many of you would say, my heart is under conviction. I got to get to the Lord. My heart is under conviction. Would you lift your hand, hold it high? God help you. You hope to have a future as a Christian? You can't do that without the Lord in His rightful place. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Oh, may God help us. May God help us. Let's stand quietly. Father, may Thy will be done. May Christ be glorified. May we follow after Thee with our whole heart. We pray for the salvation of those dear ones who don't know You, who have lived a lie. Bring them to thyself this day. We have failed. I have failed. Help us, God, help us. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Move in our midst, we pray. Before you lift your head and sing, I want you to know it's time. It is time now. It is time. It's time. If you ever intend to do the right thing, it's time. This is the time. Don't delay in this. Some of you made promises to God you've never kept. He knows it. It's time. This is time. Father, may thy will be done. May people come to thee. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hymn number 154. We're going to sing 154. And as we do, there's personal workers here to help you, to pray with you, to point you to the Lord, to encourage you. You're the one who has to say, I'm coming. Let's sing the hymn for souls. 154. All to Jesus. All to Jesus. I surrender.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Just a matter of yielding. Just a matter of yielding. You say, pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Hold it high. Pray for me. Yes. Yielding. Yielding. Then yield to it. Some of you are not members of this church, but you're looking for a church home. As God speaks to you and leads you, put your life and influence in a place like this. May God help you. Yes. And He'll do it. Doubt about it. Yield to it. This is for you. How many of you have a great hurt in your heart for someone you love? Something that's gone terribly astray, and you say, just pray for me. And I'll know what to do and how to handle it. To be a victorious Christian. This is for you. Choir, would you sing just a verse or two? And you come as they sing it. Just leave your place and come.